So our scripture lesson this morning is from John. It's verses 6 through 8 and then 19 through 28. So beginning with 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And then beginning on 19. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us." "What do you say about yourself?" he said. "I am the voice of the one crying out in wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had sent him from the Pharisees and asked him, "Why then are you baptized if you're neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. And so I think there's sort of two parts to what John's talking about here. This first part is where he's talking about him being a witness. And so I think I have 8 things that I think he witnessed, but I think also we either see or we become part of the witness. So the first thing, when he talks about the Father being the witness, he's talking about God. And so one of the things that I like to do is when we share God sightings is I want us to recognize where God works in people's lives. Because sometimes I think we just get so busy we don't notice the things that people do. So when she was talking to the guy at the laundromat that said, "Hey, I've got 10 minutes left," you know, it's not so much that he asked her about the time. It's the other two things. He recognized he had time left. And the other thing was he recognized she could use that time. And so sometimes we're not observant enough to notice when people need our help. So we rang, my Kiwanis Club rang bells for the Salvation Army again. And I don't know what the deal is with them all, but if you come in the MCL side, they have taken all the electric automatic door openers off. And it's like a slalom, like every other door's working. I don't know why they can't fix them. Might tell you something about the mall, not really sure. But when we were there, I can't tell you how many people, either because they were just having trouble walking, or if they were in a wheelchair or were using a walker, where you'd have to, we'd open the door for them. So they'd come in one way, then you'd have to open the door because there were no electric doors there at all. And so it's just, do we allow God to be seen, or are we too busy? The other thing he talks about is Jesus Christ. And I put I, because Jesus is in our, if we allow Jesus to be in our life, then that can be a witness. So then I have works. Now, I always worry about, when I talk about works, that people think you can just do good things and that's how you build up a relationship with the Lord. And that's not true. What's really supposed to work here is that by us allowing Jesus Christ into our hearts and our minds, he would lead us to donate the 10 minutes on the dryer time. He would lead us to take a thing for the angel tree off and go shopping and find presents for people. It's not that we do those things and then we're in the right place with the Lord. It's that the Lord works through our hearts and directs us to do those things for people, whatever that is. We can read the scriptures. Last week when we were talking about eating the locust, how many of you guys think locust is a bug? Okay, a lot of people aren't voting here apparently. Or somebody at New Burlington said, "You know, the locust tree has this bean on it." And he said, "I've always thought it was the bean on the locust tree." So I went back and looked at it, and there is a bean on the locust tree. But all the things I could find said they think he was eating a real locust because the locust would have been kosher for him to eat. It fell into the Jewish laws. So I don't really know. I mean, the way I've always read it, I always thought it was the one that flew and it was a bug, because who over here ate one? Is that you? It wouldn't have mattered if they put chocolate, vanilla, strawberry ice cream. I don't want to eat bugs, okay? But we can read the scriptures and learn stuff. But I gave that to you as an example because, you know, sometimes you can have two different people read the scriptures and they think it means different things. And that's okay, because we have to come to our own understanding of what things mean. But those scriptures can help us be a witness to other people, because that's what really this is about. John the Baptist ended up being a witness where he's taken people, and we talked about baptism last week, and so I'm not going to talk about that again, but he's a physical witness where he's calling people out and he said, hey, you need to repent. You need to change your lives. The Jews are going, we don't get baptized because we're Jewish. He goes, everybody needs to be baptized. And that's what he's telling them. And so, you know, when we describe him in this camel hair coat and the leather belt, if he came today, I don't know. I don't know that I'd be first in line to talk to him, because that's a pretty weird looking outfit. And so how do we know, you know, when we hear someone on I worked downtown in Muncie, there was a guy across the street from the bank. He was there almost every day in the summer, and he witnessed the people. And so I went over one day and we chatted for a while. And he might have been a little more aggressive than I would have wanted him to be, or I would have been. But he didn't say anything that wasn't true. And anyone that would stop, he would talk to him. And so for him, that was the way he witnessed to people. So how many witnesses do we have in here today? Show of hands. Okay, we can all be witnesses. And we can do it a couple different ways. We can do it the way we talk to people, specifically about a relationship with the Lord. But we can do it in the way that we react towards other people. Because if people know that you go to church and they see you behaving in a really good way, then that confirms to them that's what Christians do. I did notice she snuck way up to the front today, too, by the by. I told him there were a lot of empty seats up front this morning, and he apparently found one. But we witness different ways. So we can do it through actual talking to people about a relationship with the Lord, but we can do it with the way that we interact with people. And so if we say, oh yeah, we're a Christian, but then we treat people awful, what does that really tell them about what Christians are? I think I've told you guys before, do you know what the worst day for a server at a restaurant is? Sunday. Why? Because we tip poorly. Perception, it doesn't matter whether it's real or not. Servers believe that if they get Christians after church on Sunday, it's going to be bad for them because we don't tip very well. I would say take your church bulletin, put it right there beside you, and give them way more than they deserve, whatever it was, so that you can dispel that myth or reality. I don't know if it's reality or myth, but that's, I've read different articles, I've talked to servers, and that's what they say. And so if people think it, then it's true, whether it's true or not. And so that's a way we can show people how Christ lets us help others. And if you have a restaurant, I have my pizza server, I'm worried about her. Because people aren't going in to eat. I mean, they've kind of backed off going in to eat again. They were closed where all she did was work inside. And I am sure that most of her pay is from tips. And so it's going to be a really hard year for her. And the last time I saw her a couple of weeks ago, she seemed so down. And so if you have a restaurant you go to, but you haven't been gone as much because of everything going on, and you have some extra money to give, give it. Because all those people are really struggling because they're not seeing the same amount of people. And a lot of restaurants don't pay very much because everybody kind of plans on those, the tips and gratuities that people get when they end. But it's a way that we can witness to people how God works in our lives, how we not only believe in Him and follow Him, but what that translates into our lives. How do we really relate to people? What do we give to people? And so Steve talked about a little bit today. I think there's a couple things left on the list for next week. But we're going to help. Is it eight, Jeremy? Eight families? Nine? Eight? Okay. That was thumbs up. I thought you were adding one. Sorry. So eight families that may not have had any kind of a Christmas. And I'm not sure how many angel trees there were in total.
There's two left.
But how many did we start with?
24,
we think. So we got 22 children that have been helped. We got a couple more if somebody's got some time this week. But all those are witnesses. John witnessed by calling people out. We can witness either directly or indirectly. The disciples are witnesses. Although I would say we can all be disciples too. We choose how we relate with people. And then if we let the Holy Spirit work through us, that can become a witness as well to let us drive and direct us on what we're supposed to do. Now, the second part of this is Jesus becomes the reason, everything in our mind, and the Word of God as a human when He comes to the earth. And I was reading something the other day, and I never really thought about this before, but I always kind of assume that people figured out who Jesus was right away, as soon as at least by the crucifixion, by Easter time, as we celebrate Israel, or Egypt, or Easter. But I was reading some things where, you know, a lot of the writings were about a generation later. And so I think maybe my perception was wrong. People didn't really figure it out until later. If you read through John's gospel, the opposition to Jesus is really from the Jewish community. Now, that may have some side effects, that unintended side effects, as I like to call them, because that might explain why some people are so anti-Jewish. But my instructor from my last class, she said she ended up in an argument with a kid at her church in youth because he insisted that Jesus wasn't Jewish. And she went, oh, yeah, he was. But it was so, somewhere in his family, his life, he had this anti-Jewish slant. And so there's no way that Jesus could have been Jewish. But clearly he was born in a Jewish community, raised in a Jewish community. And so when we think about Jesus and the rejection, sometimes we think of it in terms, again, of people being Jewish. But it was really more the leadership of the Jewish church, because most of his followers at the beginning were Jewish. We don't see Gentiles, which is all of us, we don't see Gentiles joining in until later. And so I just wanted to bring that up just so that we think those things through. So John's asked these three questions. So have I ever told you that I went to a synagogue for a Jewish service, okay? And the very first thing they do is they all turn around at one of the back doors and see if Elijah is going to come in that day. And because this is what they're waiting for. Elijah's going to come and tell them when the Messiah is coming. And one of the things they do at Passover, there is an empty plate because they save it in case Elijah comes that day. Okay? So when the leaders go out there and say, hey, John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? He says, no, I'm not the Messiah. Because he wasn't. So then if you're not the Messiah, then they're expecting him to be Elijah. If the Messiah has really come, if he's really foretelling this. So he says, are you Elijah? And he goes, no. And so this whole idea of Elijah would be the messenger that would come to tell the Jewish community when the Messiah is coming. And so as we read not only through Christmas, but as we go through, as we get to the time of the crucifixion, I've always, and I know he wasn't, but if these questions would have been answered differently, where he said, yeah, I am like Elijah, maybe the Jewish community would have followed Jesus differently. But it didn't happen that way. And so when he says he's not the Messiah and he's not Elijah, then they're going, well, then you're just some guy out here doing something that we don't understand because Jews don't have to be baptized. It's not a requirement. And it's okay that you baptize Gentiles, but unless they're becoming part of the Jewish community, we don't know why you're doing that either. And so this idea of a messenger would be to make that path for the Messiah to come flat and level. And so if you've ever walked down a cobblestone road or a dirt road, they're not level and they're not flat. And so it's not so much physically getting them ready, it's getting them ready, us ready mentally. Now back then when it talks about straightening the road, when the king was coming, all the roads got straightened up, fixed up. I'm guessing that if the President of the United States ever came here, whatever road he was going to be on would get straightened up and fixed up too. Because that's what we do. We try to put our best foot forward. What John was doing was trying to get that road as level and straight for all of us to find Jesus. So at the end, John's really only trying to get us to become closer to Jesus Christ. And we can all do that through God's grace. And so don't let this time of year where there's stuff going on, whether it's family stuff or work stuff or whatever stuff you're working on, that gets you away from what the point of Christmas really is. It's to recognize God coming into the world as a human. So that allows all of us to have a closer relationship with him. I was reading an article in the Muncie Star this morning, and I forget where the pastor was from, and he was talking about, and I've never really thought about this before, and so I'm going to have to rethink what I say sometimes. He was saying that so often people want the relationship with Christ to get them into heaven. From his point of view, heaven's not the important thing. For him, the thing was, it's the relationship that we have with the Lord. If you have that right relationship with the Lord, and I would agree with him on this, on that part and this part too, then all that other stuff just takes care of itself. And he said, I wonder now, so many people, so kind of go back to works, do things so that they're pretty sure they're going to get into heaven. That's probably not the most important thing. The important thing is, what kind of a close relationship can we build with the Lord? How do we share that with others? How do we become that witness, that messenger to all of God's world? Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we could come together today to worship, to praise you. Let us take that praise and worship out into your community for us to be witnesses, either directly or indirectly, to all those that we come in contact with. Be with us all as we work in your world. Amen. Thank you.